The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, what do you think about the Clippers' final possession yesterday?
I think that's great hustle by Rudy Gobert. Not only do you rarely see three-point shots get blocked, but in particular at the end of a basketball game in the playoffs. Great job by the Defensive Player of the Year, the Stifle Tower. Let's start the show.
Get it. Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are
What's
Jalen
up?
Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We have so much to discuss in the NBA playoffs, and we have a fact about the Bucks that make them unlike any other defending Super Bowl champion. But we start the show with the Jazz against the Clippers. And it was a tight game until Donovan Mitchell addressed his team. And here's what he had to say to the Jazz.
They played game 7 2 days ago. It's all how we start this quarter. They'll call it quits and get ready for game 2 if we make them. Let's get ready for that.
Jalen, from that point on, the Jazz jumped out, and that man, Donovan Mitchell, scored 45. What do you think about his performance to start the season?
He's a superstar, Jacoby, and he's already proven so this very young in his career. The same way when you look around the league and you see franchise-changing players like a Luka Doncic or a Ja Morant or a Zion Williamson, so many great, young, talented players, Trae Young. I could go on and on and on about the young players that have distinguished themselves so very young in their career. He's not only done that for the regular season, as the Jazz had the number one seed and broke the record for threes made per average per game, but also he's done it in the playoffs. He's had a 57-point game last year in the bubble. It was really his battle against Jamal Murray was epic. He was 15th this year in the MVP voting. Usually somebody that's on the number one seeded team in the best conference, and currently that's the Western Conference, they get more love than that. But he turns his game up on this stage, and he does it in all facets. In particular, without Mike Conley, when he has that ball in his hands, he's more electric. I know you can't just take the ball away from Conley because he's a seasoned vet. He flirted with a triple-double. He also needs the ball. But when Donovan has it, and he can play make for himself and for others, and he can pick and choose his spot, and his three ball is going, he's shown to be virtually unstoppable. He was the reason, literally, they won game one. A superstar player playing the way he played against another 40-point performance versus the vaunted Clippers defense on the perimeter?
Yeah. We saw Luka do it last round, and it was Mitchell last night. But one person who needs to be pointed out, the gentleman by the name of Paul George, he was hearing overrated chants. He started the game like 2-for-12. He was part of the Clippers' comeback. We have to give him credit for that. But Paul George, from once in a while in the playoffs, just has tough games. Why do you think that is?
There are two audiences as public figures that we entertain, as athletes, as media personalities. There's the linear audience, and then there's the social media audience. Like, every time somebody's trying to create something, they're trying to think of how to satisfy both of those audiences. And there are people that are liked by the linear audience, but are disliked by the social media audience. And there are people that are disliked by both, and or vice versa. Soon as Paul George starts struggling in a game, once he told the world that his nickname was Playoff P, now all of a sudden when he struggles, Playoff P is trending for all of the wrong reasons. Pandemic P is trending for all of the wrong reasons. When you're an all-NBA performer and you have multiple games where you've shot under 25%, the audience is going to pay attention to that. And so you're right to point out the fact that Paul George can't be pedestrian if the Clippers are even going to make this a long series.
You mentioned earlier about the Jazz being the number one seed, about how they broke the record for 3 points per game. But one thing that they don't get enough credit for is their defense. They were the number one seed for a reason, and one of those reasons was that defense. And that is also one of the reasons that Paul George struggled. And when people talk about the Jazz defense, they talk about one man, Rudy Gobert. But as you saw last night, it was a full team effort to limit Kawhi Leonard. Remember what Kawhi Leonard did games 5, 6, and 7 against the Mavs? To limit Paul George, to make things difficult for them. I love the Jazz defensive effort that they had last night, and I think that is what will propel them to make it difficult for the Clippers. But Jalen, holistically about this series, I don't know who's going to win. I think we're going to get 6 or 7 out of this one, don't you?
I believe the Jazz will win. I anticipate a long series, because they have so many guys like a Jordan Clarkson, who's going to be Sixth Man of the Year, who are fearless. Like the Utah Jazz missed 20 straight shots in the first half. Found a way with that defense that you just highlighted to shoot themselves back into the game. And that level of cohesion of a core group of players playing together with Ingles and Bogdanovich and these guys that have been in the trenches together the last handful of years, and Favors and Gobert, you're able, and the same head coach who's done a terrific job of nurturing his team and Quinn Snyder, you now can draw on your principles. And that's what I saw versus a Clippers team that's still searching for an identity. It's a new series. Now, you're giving more minutes to Patrick Beverly. You're giving more minutes to Boogie. Because what happens is, you got to now walk into the locker room and tell those vets, hey, y'all got to stay ready. I know I didn't use y'all in the first series, but I'm going to need y'all going forward. So now you're watching the game and they playing 12 players to start the game. You're like, whoa, what happened? Well, they just had a 7-game series and they got to keep those guys engaged. So those things worked in the Utah Jazz favor also.
We now turn our attention to the Eastern Conference, where we have the Hawks taking on the Sixers in Game 2. The Hawks got Game 1 in Philadelphia. They did not get Game 2 because of that man right there, a 40-point performance from Joel Embiid.
So if you look at the stat sheet in particular points, you'll see that Joel Embiid had 39 in Game 1. He had 40 in Game 2. Let me tell you, with this eye test that's been doing this for a living and playing for a long time, he was a vastly better and improved player in Game 2.
Ooh, and interesting how.
One player, one play in particular embodies that. When he got it on the left wing and he bullied Clint Capella and he went and dunked it. See, what happened with Joel is he has a magnetic personality. So when he first got into the league, I'm gonna dominate on the floor, but I'm gonna dominate with the laughs. I'm gonna dominate on social media. I'm gonna dominate with the endorsements. And then he realized that, wait a minute, Kawhi shot us down and there's footage of me crying. Wait a minute, the Boston Celtics swept us in the playoffs. Sam Hinkie coined the process, he got fired. Brett Brown was my first coach. He got fired. So now you bring in Maury, you bring in Doc, the game broke his heart. And now he ain't focused on being Troel. He focused on being the best player in the game. And that's why he was number two in the MVP race. And that's why he's the most physically dominant, skilled big we have in the game. And the sole reason why they won Game 2, his effort, other than the fact that you put Ben Simmons on Trae Young along with Thybul, you lose that assignment, Danny Green, and you get shot making from Milton. And it seems like they never lose when Curry scores at least 15. And so being able to play multiple ways and having that balance is why they took Game 2.
Yeah, it was curious how much they were using Danny Green against Trae Young in Game 1. And it was so curious that Doc Rivers completely scrapped that and went with Simmons and Matisse Thybulle, who are both have long length and quick hands and are great defenders. But I want to point something out about Joel Embiid just to demonstrate how difficult it is to stop him, because he is so versatile when he gets the ball. You know that snake thing they have on the floor in Philadelphia? This is like three straight possessions.
There it is.
All right, I'll catch it there and just push you out the way. Same spot. This time, I'm going to go this time, take a little, like, you know, turnaround jump shot. And then watch this one. Step back to the baseline.
Like,
you can't stop him from the snake. And a couple times they try to throw double teams at him, and he makes the right read every time. It's a great performance from Joel Embiid. And remember, we were worried about his health? He looked pretty healthy last night. Jalen, we're now going to turn our attention to the NFL. It is officially the start of the season, and the Super Bowl champions have the GOAT, Tom Brady, going full speed on the first day of minicamp. Jalen, what does this say for the Buccaneers, and what do you think of their chances this season to defend the championship?
I miss my days being a member of the St. Cecilia Beacons, and I was a defensive end, and I thought I was Reggie White or Ed Too Tall Jones. I used to be crushing kids, and I showed up at the Silver Dome at the championship game with dirty pants, and our coach, the legend Sam Washington, never forgave me for that. But in all honesty, Tom Brady, at 43 years of age, is still the guy that now NFL teams have to figure a way to combat his greatness after seven championships. It's phenomenal. He walks into the office and says, sign AB. I know he's dealing with some off-field issues. Sign Gronk. I know that he's wrestling and doing other stuff. Get me some help in the backfield. Get me a pass catcher that can come out of the backfield. Oh, they still have Evans and Godwin. Like, they have weapons everywhere of mass destruction football-wise. And Tom Brady under center? They're going to be better this year, in particular in the regular season, than they were last year.
Jalen, there's something really important on that screen right now, and it's at the bottom. They are the only Super Bowl champion since the salary cap era in 1994 that are returning all 22 starters on offense and defense. It has never happened before. And if you remember last season, think back. Remember the Saints game when they lost 38-3? Do you remember when they lost to the Bears and Tom Brady thought there was an extra down? They had a bad loss to the Rams. They lost to the Chiefs. They didn't start great. But when you return 22 players and when you have Tom Brady going full speed the first day of minicamp, I really like their chances to repeat as Super Bowl champions, something that is so difficult to do in sports.
And also, while they have the weaponry to outscore anyone, you add Giovanni Bernard, as I mentioned, we need somebody to catch it out of the backfield. But the actual reason why they won the Super Bowl was the Chiefs didn't score a touchdown. So let's make sure you pay homage to that defense as well when you say everybody returning, because everybody on that side of the ball is returning as well.
That's a great point. Jalen Rose, the MVP of the NBA, the stretch mark five, Nikola Jokic, has his work cut out for him and the Nuggets to even up the series in Phoenix against the Suns. We'll break down what he needs to do.
Where your guy Capazzo at?
Jalen and Jacoby.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Huge games on ESPN Thursday, tomorrow night, starting at 7:30. It is game three between the Nets and the Bucks, and then in the nightcap, we head to Utah for game two between the Clippers and the Jazz. It all starts at 7:30. It's all on ESPN. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, we all knew it was going to happen, but it officially happened. Nikola Jokic is the MVP of the NBA. While not a surprise, it does not mean he will not be celebrated by Jalen Anthony Rose.
No doubt about it. Oh, you see him hitting with the Smitty on the post. How about the skill that this man has? So you saw him do an off the dribble Smitty on the post. You see him shooting a three. You see him be the roller in the pick and roll action and finish at the hoop. You see him shooting the ball off his right leg as a right-handed player. He's the only guy in the league as a center that they literally initiate the offense through. Oh, and by the way, if you look at the league rankings, he's top whatever in every category because he's been that dominant. The person who was second, Joel Embiid, he also played almost about 20 games more than he did. So he was consistent from beginning to end. He helped lead the Nuggets, whether Murray was in or out. well-deserving of the award for our guy, the Joker. Our guy, the Joker.
And Jalen, I see something happening in the NBA. The last center to win MVP was Shaquille O'Neal around the turn of the century. You mentioned it. Number one in voting was Jokic. Number two was Joel Embiid. And think about, look at Shaq. He was so dominant. Perhaps we'll have a resurgence of big men in the NBA after we listened to the words small ball for so long. But we will need a resurgence from Nikola Jokic between game one and game two in the key series between the Nuggets and the Suns, because in game one, Nikola Jokic just wasn't aggressive enough. He needs to put some fouls on Aiden. He needs to find his shot. He needs to be aggressive. Jalen, what does he need to do?
Go towards the basket and look to score. He had three assists because they're able to stay at home without Murray and without Barton. Morris didn't have the kind of game that he had in the previous series when he put up 20 in back-to-back games. But the main thing that also has to happen besides the Joker being aggressive and scoring and trying to get Aiden into foul trouble so they can now go to Saric, so they can now go to Frank Kaminsky, I think he'll solve Crowder guarding him because he's just too skilled and too big for Crowder to guard him. But the thing that's got to happen for the Nuggets is Michael Porter Jr., slow down, slow down, like the brand Nubians. Look at these shots. It's not that he can't make those shots. It's just that he's playing a hair faster than he normally does. So when you watch great players and we say he doesn't allow himself to get sped up, this is the opposite of that. He allowed that to happen to himself in the first game. I think if he slows down, continues to cut and move without the ball, get a couple of layups, get a couple of dunks, don't necessarily rely on the three-point shot to get his offense going, I think he'll perform much better in game two.
Yep, and there's also a couple things for the Suns that we need to point out. Number one that you want to celebrate is the guard play, what's happening in the backcourt in Phoenix.
The NCAA tournament is the NBA playoffs. That's right. And Monty Williams played in the league. Shout out to my little brother, Willie Green, on the staff. They're doing a terrific job of developing talent. Here's what they've done. You add Chris Paul, the point guard, who's going to have high assists, low turnovers, and great decision-making, to go with Devin Booker, who's been a primary ball handler his entire career, and early in his career scored 70 points against the Boston Celtics. Jay Crowder, now I think about it, was on that team. Pretty sure they joke about that. And now all of a sudden you develop Cam into an asset. And so now he's playing quality minutes off the bench and knocking down his lefty three. And then Mikal Bridges, he's going to play defense, but now he's scoring the ball. He played well in game one. So having those four players are really going to be troublesome for the Nuggets. But I have a question for you. Where your guy Capazzo at? Where he at?
Dame ended Capazzo last series. Ended Capazzo last series. He is no longer there.
No, Chris Paul ended him in game one.
Well, in New Orleans, they're asking where is Drew Brees because he is no longer with the team. And Sean Payton said that the offense will be built a little bit around the quarterback choice. And obviously that choice is between Jameis Winston and that man right there, Taysom Hill. Jalen, do you think there's a real competition between these two for the starting quarterback job in New Orleans?
I don't think it should be. A couple of years ago when Drew Brees got injured for a couple of games, they didn't put in Taysom Hill. They put in Teddy Bridgewater. He played well and parlayed that into a contract with Carolina. Now he's not with them anymore. You know what Jameis was doing? Yeah, he was throwing 30 interceptions, but he's also getting big yards and throwing 30 touchdowns. And when I look at the competition, it doesn't look like one. And we had Cam Jordan on the show, and we asked him about the quarterback position. He mentioned Jameis. He did not mention Taysom. And last but not least, and this is where the game gets tricky, salary.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston accomplished everything that he accomplished, and he makes basically a minimum salary. Taysom Hill accomplished as a Swiss Army knife what he's accomplished, and he makes a top-tier salary. What a time to be alive.
If you're Jameis Winston, you have to think, I'm a quarterback. I've been a quarterback my entire life. You're not going to replace me with someone that's not a quarterback, someone who covers punts, someone that's a tight end, someone who's sort of like a wildcat offensive guy. You know what? That's like someone coming to me and saying they're replacing me on this show with a parrot. They'll be like, listen, all you have to do is speak. You just have to ask the questions. So we're going to replace you with the parrot on Jalen and Jacoby. That's your new co-host right there. That's how Jameis Winston feels right now. Jalen, we have sound from a pitcher in Major League Baseball that every single person can relate to. We'll play it for you right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Garrett Cole was asked about using spider tack on his hands, and this was his response.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
I don't know. I don't know quite how to answer.
I don't know exactly. I don't have the perfect answer. Give me the Zoom. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I'm the bad connection. I'll call back. Major League Baseball. We will be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 p.m.
2 o'clock. Tell a friend.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is pod-exclusive content for our podcast listeners. During the television portion of the program, we spoke of three of the four remaining series in the NBA playoffs, so I want to start the pod-exclusive with the fourth. That, of course, is the Bucks and the Nets. I don't know if you remember, Jalen, but two things. Number one, you picked the Bucks to win. Number two, the Bucks were down by 49 points in the second half of the last game. In your entire career, have you ever been down 49 points? I'm trying to think.
I'm almost sure the answer should be yes, since I play so much basketball.
Yeah.
But I do know that I was a member of a Pacers team that once beat the Blazers by like 55.
That's hard.
And I was a member of a Detroit Southwestern team that beat Western and or Renaissance by like 70. So I understand. What it's like, but here's your overarching thought and point. My prediction was incorrect.
Thus far.
I wanted to believe that Giannis improved his shot making outside of the paint in the playoffs. He hasn't. I wanted to believe that Giannis would step up to the line and make free throws in the playoffs. He hasn't. I'm actually disappointed in the fact that he's been the person defensively that the Nets have been picking on.
Mm-hmm. Defensive player of the year.
See KD double crossover and one. See Kyrie raise up for three. See Blake Griffin goes baseline on Giannis. See KD does another double crossover with the up and under layup and one. All on Giannis. So, of course, basketball isn't a one-man team. However, this time of year, you need your best players to perform as such so that your role players can fall in line accordingly. It doesn't happen the other way around. You need your two-time MVP to not be a liability offensively. He's been that. And the other sad part about all of this is James Harden only played 1 minute. And Jeff Green hasn't played at all.
Yep, no, not even there. And Chris Middleton didn't play in game one or game two either, right?
Basically, no. But how about this? So how about this? Now when you look at the Nets, it's like they got so much depth. because the Bucks got everybody balling. It's like Brown balling, Mike James balling, balling, Claxton balling. It's like who? It's like Steve Nash. Is he balling? Oh, that's right. He coaching. You know what I'm saying? It's like whoever with them is having like a career opportunity to perform. And so I'm really disappointed in the Bucks. An exit like this will cost their coach's job.
Yep.
I think that they've given him ample opportunity to take this team to the next level, and he just hasn't been able to do so.
Couple thoughts. Number one, I'm not going to make it about you pick the Bucks anymore, you know, because doing this for 10 years, like, you're going to get stuff wrong. You know what I mean? You just are. Like, that's just the way it goes. I don't see the future. If you would have asked me Saturday before the Super Bowl what's going to happen tomorrow, I'd be like, oh, the Chiefs are going to roll. They're going to win, but they're going to win by 35. You know what I mean? It's just the way the game goes. So it's not really about that to me. But another thing is the Nets. I like the Nets so much, especially in the playoffs, because they have these three individual talents. Obviously, James Harden's hurt. That in a playoff scenario becomes so much about adjustments and changing your strategy, especially defensively from game to game and in the series, and finding what works and exploiting weaknesses of the other team. And when you look at so many of the teams that are left, the Hawks and the Sixers come to mind, and even the Clippers come to mind, is you're reliant on these singular superstars, and the Bucks are like that too. You're reliant on Giannis. You know, when you started your point saying, I thought he would make more free throws, I thought he would make more shots, I thought he would play better defense. And when you rely on a singular star, you're easier to scheme against, and you just can't scheme against the Nets because they have three of those singular stars that can't. And one of the criticisms of the Nets was, oh, they take turns. So yeah, they do take turns. That's actually not a weakness. That's a strength. They take turns. And I think also people think about the Nets and they think, well, these are three great isolation scorers that just do it by themselves. That is kind of true, but they're also passing a lot. Like, they got a lot of passes per possessions when you watch the game. They're moving the ball around. And here's a stat for you I got from StatMuse. It's a great follow on Twitter. Everyone should follow them. Kevin Durant shoots 90% of his threes are contested. 90% of his threes are contested. He shoots 50% on those. Okay, 50% on contested threes, which just proves something that you've said about Kevin Durant whenever we talk on and off wax, which is what? Here's your lob.
Kevin Durant is my favorite player to watch in the NBA. And I know he's dealt with some injuries the last year or so. But, like, as somebody that considers himself a basketball purist, you just reminded me why I love him so much. His buckets are loud. Like, you can't tell me that he didn't have 50 last game. And the reason why plays out through one of the stats you just threw at me. 90% of his threes are contested. That's loud. Mm-hmm. You play a lot of basketball, Jacoby. You watch a lot of basketball. That ain't the way you want 99.9% of people to earn a living, taking contested threes.
And you said it felt like he had 50 points. He was only 2 points above his average. You know what I mean? Like, it was like an average output for KD. And you said this something about KD. We were talking. It was off wax. We were having lunch or whatever. And I was like, man, KD can just, like, turn around and anybody. He's like, well, because he knows he's not going to get a shot blocked. So it's contested, but we talked about it during the television show. Like, when you got Rudy Gobert on Morris, like, that's contested differently than when you have a Bryn Forbes on KD. You know what I mean? Because KD looks at someone 4 inches shorter than him with his long arms. He's like, I know you're next to me. I know this is technically contested, but if I have no concern about your defense, then it's not truly contested, which means they should probably change the stat for KD and not even keep it.
And what's so fascinating about, like, his length and his range and his ability to just score at, and shout to my brother Rashard Phillips, doing a terrific job scouting players, being Yoda in the game. And he talked to me about another level, the fourth level. And KD is the kind of player uniquely positioned to score at any point of the floor at all time. But I want to also give you something that I saw with my right eye as I watched the game. Kevin Durant scored each of his field goals on the right side of the hoop, facing the basket. So therefore, when you're a scout or you're a coach and you're going into the next game, you gotta now crowd that area and force him away from those spots. I didn't say the words block his shot. I didn't say the words stop him. Yeah. When you're going against these great players, you just try to make sure that you make the game as inefficient as possible. That's all you're trying to do. If he's shooting over Bryn Forbes, it's a higher likely that he's going to make it than if he's shooting over Giannis. It doesn't mean that he's not going to make it either way if they don't get it blocked, right? That he's just a terrific, wonderful offensive weapon. If anybody has played any sort of basketball that, like, maybe I'm not going to lower the bar here for everybody out there, but anybody that's like, or in high school or summer league or wherever, feel like you can score double digits, right? If you can score at least 10 and you're getting them because you're creating the shots, you feel like you can score against anybody. So now imagine if you're an NBA player that's been doing that his whole life and actually been a star in middle school, elementary school, high school, college, and now the league. So for KD, it's like, hold on. Y'all gonna pay me millions of dollars to play basketball? See, that's how I look at him. That's what I like about him. Like, that ain't work to him. That ain't work. Like, when I watch Giannis play, to be honest, he loved the game, but he working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he Donna Summer out there. He working hard for the money. Like, KD is easy money sniper. Like, that's legitimately who he is. And when you jump teams like he has from OKC to the Warriors and from the Warriors, who have a terrific team and culture, and it seems like from the outside looking in, everybody want to be a part of what they're building, he knew that that would never be his team or his city because it belongs to Steph Curry. He knew that. And so he had to go somewhere else where he could form his own legacy, where they're going to actually put a statue of him outside of the building. He has a chance to do that with the Nets. And so the KD factor is a real one. The dominance of KD is real. But let me go to the B side of this this single. I went to a Pistons game this year when they played against the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what I said the next day on the show about Kyrie?
That he was a globetrotter?
That Kyrie Irving is a globetrotter. And I was staring at his feet, because when you get seats like I do, you sit close enough where you can actually just stare at their feet, or you could just trip a referee. Step your game up, Reg. Where the rim shots at? Come on, man.
That ain't funny.
Yes, it is. I was staring at Kyrie Irving's feet, not to just look at his shoes. And I was like, Kobe Bryant. I looked down at his feet and was watching how they move, like in all areas. And by the way, nobody's seen the back of Kobe Bryant's jersey or the bottom of his feet more than me. So when I tell you I look at somebody's feet and they look at Kobe Bryant, you better get your ears better perk up. All right? Like, this dude's footwork is incredible. And it's fascinating to me that now he's playing with tempo and pace. See, normally Kyrie looks like Uncle Drew, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then goes into his bag and it's like, yo. But now in the playoffs, Kyrie getting that thing on the run. That's a different player that's now pulling up for that three in the second half, 1-on-4. Like that rhythm that he's playing with and that tempo that he's playing with, if James Harden can give them anything, if James Harden can give them anything remote of what we're accustomed to seeing, I have to bow down and pay homage that I was wrong that they won't win the championship their first year. They're definitely poised to do so.
I believe so as well. And I don't want to be too short-sighted here. After the Mavs beat the Clippers, two games on the road, I thought the series is over. I thought Kawhi Leonard was going to be on the Heat. Now, obviously, things have changed. Right? And now they're one of the four
change
teams that can...
clothes!
Yeah,
and
it's like
go.
Things change. So, do you think... I'll say 1 to 99%. This is an old segment, 0 to 100. I love that segment. 0 to 100%. What percentage chance will you give the Bucks to do the same thing? To come back from 0-2, win 4 out of 5, and win a game 7?
Higher than you believe. I'll say 40.
Ooh, that's high.
Because here's what I know. And the reason why I actually hate doing predictions of series is because there are two things that you can't quantify. Number one, injuries. Like, mm-hmm. So if I go into a series and you say who gonna win, the Lakers or the Suns, I'm gonna say the Lakers. But I know AD is hurt. You see what I'm saying? And yeah, so, yeah. Just like the Phoenix Suns and Denver Nuggets series, I didn't know what Chris Paul was gonna look like in this series. I had no idea what he was gonna look like. But now I see Chris Paul, I'm like, oh, okay. The Nuggets in trouble because they got terrific guard play with CP3, Booker, Bridges, and Campaign. So I'm like, without Jamal Murray and without Barton, that's just like way too much to overcome. And so you were talking about the Sixers, right?
Nope, talking about you said 40% chance the Bucks to come back and win, which is absolutely ridiculous. That's way too high. I just want you to know that's way too high.
No, it's not.
Let
me tell you why I gave it 40%. In the NBA, when you play with force and you really play hard, like in game 2, let me tell you something Joel did. Play hard. See, most people look at the stats and be like, well, in game 2, he had 40. In game 1, he had 39. In game 2, to me, he had 50. He was playing hard. Like, it was a different player. It was a total different player in game 2 than game 1, I promise y'all. It's a total different player. Philly played hard. And you know what the Bucks gonna do when they go home? They gonna play hard. And that's how Philly got back in the game late against Atlanta. That's how Utah eventually came back and won game 1, led by Donovan Mitchell. When you just flat out play hard, the games are so long that you're gonna make a run. And the ref's gonna report, the ref is going, there's so many judgment calls in an NBA game. And who gets the judgment call for a possible over the back, a possible reach in? Like, go back at the end of game 1 when Philadelphia came back. If you really was looking at the game and you saw how physical Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons and Thibault were with Bogdanovich, Herter, and Trae Young, like, you could have called like 35 fouls. But since they were playing hard consistently, you know this, Jacoby. You can't call everything. You got to let some go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bucks, and here's another thing they're going to do. Bobby Portis, I know he's never been an all-star. I know. But when you go home, guys like him, who haven't made a 3 yet in this series, who shot over 40%, going to become Marcus Morris for the Clippers. Remember I told you. He'll go out there, he's gonna make like four threes. His eyes gonna be at the top of his eyebrows. He gonna be out there looking like who want what. PJ Tucker, all of a sudden, we're gonna be showing his short shorts and his shoes coming into the game. He'll be feeling good about himself. They're gonna be a lot tougher. Drew Holiday, the exact same thing. And so they take game three. Now it all boils down to the swing game. What happens in game four? Do the Nets take a stranglehold on the series and go up 3-1? Or do they make it a long series and have it be 2-2? Mark my words, just like I said with the Clippers and the Mavs series. This will be a long series. Don't be surprised the Bucks win both games at home.
I disagree. I wouldn't be surprised. I do not think this will be a sweep. I do not think the Nets will be up by 49 in every single second half. However, I do think this. If this is a long series, we're talking game six, game seven, all of a sudden James Harden stops wearing street clothes. Like, I think he could play again. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I think he could give it a go. But the more they win, the longer he rests.
I agree with that assessment, and you don't have to rush to bring him back. He missed 29 games, and then he came back in a couple of games, and he got injured again. So for me, like, you keep him out as long as possible. But let's play my favorite game as I watch this year's NBA playoffs. Can you name the former Detroit Piston? Drum roll, please. Confetti. Old Reg DeLange have something for me here.
No, he won't.
Right? Okay. Tobias Harris. Chris Middleton. Both of the Morrises. Derrick Rose.
Blake.
Reggie Bullock. Andre Drummond. Blake Griffin. Luke Kennard. Reggie Jackson. Brown for the Nets.
Oh, yeah, Brown. Oh, we're probably missing some because we always do.
Anytime you make a list, you're going to forget some people. But I'll tell you what, that's a pretty notable list for this year's playoffs. Watching former performers of my squad play elsewhere and be contributors to playoff teams.
John, I got some quick hits for you. This guy's working at the Subway sandwich shop. Or a girl. Gets an order at 2:30 in the morning. 50 sandwiches. Refuses to do the order because it was too difficult. Canceled the order. Just didn't want to deal with it. Soft move or boss move? Canceling the order when you're at work at 2:30 in the morning.
That's definitely a boss move. And here's why. That person isn't getting paid by the number of sandwiches they sell.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like the house gets money, but I don't get money.
And also,
2:30 in the morning.
And also, let me interject something. Black, white, or other. The black person that ordered these 50 sandwiches, they wanted extra this. They wanted more of that.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted toasted this. They wanted extra tomatoes on that one.
Yeah.
They want extra onions
oregano,
on that one.
Oregano
you know
on
what?
One
Change
of the Italians,
that.
No oregano
Change
on the
that.
Other.
Change that. I actually want mustard on that one instead of mayo. And I want ketchup on the 49th one.
Yes.
Like, we never ordered anything
long,
as it is
half,
on the
and
menu.
One half I want salt and pepper on, and the other half I want oil
Correct.
And oregano
I
on.
Want one cut in half. I want 10 of them cut in thirds. I want 15 of them just the way they are. I want you to toast the hoagie bread on 12 of them. I want regular wheat bread on 10 of them. And then that she like, and the person's like, you know what?
Can you crunch up some chips and put it in the tuna sandwich? Take a bag of chips, crunch it up, put it in the tuna sandwich. Also, if someone used to work in a kitchen, there's nothing worse than the big delivery order that doesn't get picked up. And nothing worse. This is probably different. This is probably on an app, so they're probably prepaid. But I was in the 90s, and when there's someone call in a big order and you work your tail off, 40 minutes go by, hour goes by, 90 minutes go by. You don't have their money. In the 90s, you don't have their money. 90 minutes go by, 2 hours go by.
David, hit the brakes, Rich. Two things I gotta address. One, what you just said, I did yesterday. I was hosting NBA playoff action. Great. Cousin Jeff, he was there.
Oh, shout out
to Jeff. Tez, he was there.
Oh, yeah.
It was Riz's birthday.
Riz's birthday, right? Yesterday? He got the same birthday as Q?
So check this out. I order 100 lemon pepper wings.
Oh, no. All flats? Two-thirds flats?
No, whole wings. Whole wings, dog. Yeah.
100 whole wings. That's 200 wings.
Right? I go to pick up the wings. Wrong location.
Oh, no.
Wrong location. So you do two things. So you do two things at that point. You do the honorable thing and go to the spot that you ordered them from. Or you just order some new ones. I chose the latter.
Just order some new ones.
I chose the latter.
Just order some new ones.
You know why I don't feel bad? I know how popular they are. They just sell it to somebody else.
Yeah,
I know how this works. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way,
if I went to that kitchen, I'd be like, guess what? The next lemon pepper order, I got them right here, ready to go.
And I got to tell you a secret. When you eat out, and I'm not going to say the restaurant, Jacoby. When you go to restaurants, you're eating a lot more food that came from third-party sources and or that got warmed up in a microwave than you realize.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the wings that I didn't go pick up, all they did well, just reheat them and sell them to somebody else.
Reheat them and sell them to someone else. Reheat them and sell them to someone else. That's exactly what I would do, too. There's two things. No, when I go to a restaurant, I like it when my food comes out fast because I'm hungry. You know what I mean? But you know what I don't like? When the food comes out too fast.
Correct.
Like, wait. I just ordered some ribs. Like, y'all came back in 45 seconds. Like, 40, that is not, those ribs are not the ribs I ordered. Those are just ribs. Those are not my ribs. Those are ribs. I want my ribs. My
Correct.
Ribs.
And I got to say one other thing. I order a debt of gratitude and appreciation to a group of human beings that have kept me safe for the majority of like the last 5 years.
I know exactly who this is.
I basically use them every day of my life.
I know exactly who this is.
Shout to Uber drivers.
You love Uber so much. It was like five, seven years ago, you started saying like Uber changed the game. Like Uber changed
I was like a
game.
Laptop and Uber.
We used to have, in New York, it was like car service. So you'd be out at a bar or something, don't drink and drive. You'd have to like get a taxi. But if you're in the Brooklyn, they don't really have taxis driving around like that. So you have to call a car service. Next thing you know, it's 25 minutes later, you're calling back to the dispatcher. Dispatcher's like, yeah, we got you. Then you're trying to leave the bar at 1:30. You're sitting there at 2:30 waiting for some car to pull up. Man, shout to Uber. Forever shout to Uber.
And for driving me safely in multiple cities at multiple times of the day. And I've never had an incident. Thank you guys very much. And the other thing I do, I'm not lying about the Uber drivers, however, that you order and then they say they 5 minutes away. And then you look down at the phone again and they say they 15 minutes away. Like, those crooks exist, too.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about them. But I did something.
You know what I can't rock with? You know what I can't rock with? They're finishing up one job, then they're going to go come to you. No.
Cancel.
Oh, don't worry. They're finishing up one little gig, and then they'll get to you later.
Let me tell you what that sounds like. To me, it's like, when you use a public bathroom, you know you're not the only person that sat on that toilet, but you don't want it hot off the press when somebody just walk out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't want to feel the warmth of the porcelain.
That thing breathe
you don't
for
want
a
the
minute.
Warm porcelain. Yeah, I don't like. You know, I don't like seeing the eyeballs of the person who just blew up the bathroom before I'm about to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to think about their face, their body type.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to know that that person exists. Yo, so the
and,
producer wants
and
to
so
wrap.
I have
give
to
me
say,
2 minutes. No,
I got
a story.
Say,
no, I got a story. So I'm at Benihana for Quincy's birthday yesterday. Quincy loves Benihana.
Yes.
So we got Quincy there, whatever he wants. And the twin girls want to go to the bathroom. And they're 5 years old now, so I don't really take them into the men's bathroom anymore. They're getting bigger, so I take them to the women's bathroom, right? So I open up the door to the women's bathroom to let the twins in. Let me just say, that smell. Whoa. Usually the women's bathrooms are cleaner. There's like a bench in there. Like they have amenities that the men's bathroom don't have. And the women's bathrooms usually don't smell like the men's bathrooms, but woo! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Y'all, females be getting down too on the road. Females win some road games too.
Yeah, they are.
Females win some road games too.
Y'all blowing up the bathroom, ladies. Hit us up and tell us y'all bathroom tales.
Jaylen,
you know
loves
what I'm saying?
Bathroom questions.
And
oh, man.
For real, fam, I was in. Where was I at?
No, Jaylen, first of all, not only did the producers say we don't have time, but I'm sure they don't want you talking
seconds.
About this either.
30 seconds.
Okay.
30 seconds.
Just to get us canceled.
I think
don't
I was just
fired.
In Miami. And, like, I was trying to find the bathroom because I saw a couple of ladies go in. And then I realized the men and the women were using the same bathroom. Have you been in one of those yet?
Yeah, that happens all the time. Yeah. All the time. We have a communal sink.
And so also, ladies in particular, tell me about you guys' experience for sharing the bathroom with men. And lastly, I owe an apology to Uber drivers because one of the crooks who drove off forced me to get into a taxi. And I came on this show and I blamed the taxi for losing
your
my glasses.
And they're
Guess
on your face
what?
Right now. They're on
they're
your
on
face,
my face right now.
Right now. Oh, you're the best. Everybody call 985-80-JALEN. Let us know what you think. We'll put you on the show. We will be back tomorrow with another dope pod of step two. Why is that, Jalen Anthony
We're
Rose.
Not done. We're not done. We are not done.